The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Find Terraflora and the full line of Enviromedica products at Enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Visit CastorPollexPet.com for their complete line of organic and sustainably sourced pet foods. Organifi, the all-day superfood system that revives in the morning, energizes midday, and relaxes in the evening. Visit Organifi.com/OLR for 20% off. That's ANIFI.com/OLR. The Well-Being Journal and Veg World Magazines. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based proteins. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to the science of evidence-based sports nutrition and supplementation. And Thorne Research, visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. You can find more information on all our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, happy terrific Tuesday.
Yeah. It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
And I always have to think about it. I'm always like, okay.
I know. I do the same thing. I'm like, well, have you ever done that where you like wake up in the morning and you can't remember what day it is, like when you're still laying in bed?
Yeah, I remember it happened to me one time early in my radio career when I first switched to mornings. And I woke up on a Saturday at like 3 a.m., got dressed, started walking out the door, and I got all the way down to the tollway, and then I realized, wait, it's Saturday. Yeah.
So. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah.
What's that old? There's a rhyme going through my head about let's get to the Saturday Sunday, or let's get together on Sunday and have a. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
You got me on that
forget
one.
About it. Oh, geez. It'll come to me during the break, probably. But we have a fantastic show. I know somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. But we've got a fantastic show today. We've got Monica Berg at the half. She is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. We're going to be talking about deconstructing anger. We're going to get to the root of it and find out what are the real roots of anger with Monica Berg. And we have Jared Ramirez with us. He is always so entertaining and knowledgeable. Jared Ramirez is a CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica is a natural health and wellness company founded in 2007, inspired by nature and ancestral health. They make premium foundational products to support whole body nutrition and help people achieve optimal health. Their Terraflora Deep Immune Symbiotic is the 2021 Nexi Award winner for the best new product supporting a healthy microbiome, but it is your gut microbiome. It's the same thing, right? Right, Jared?
It is. Absolutely. Well, immune system's in the gut.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so crazy. All this talk about the gut microbiome, there's so much science there is still yet to be discovered. But, you know, and again, kudos to you for getting the 2021 Nexi Award winner for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome by the Natural Products Expo. And we're so happy to hear that you are one of the four finalists for another Nexi Award. And this time it's for Best Supplement, right? Oh my gosh!
It is, yeah. I know we're fired up about it. We're definitely hoping for a good outcome there.
Oh my gosh! Well, the winners will be announced tomorrow, right? And so, yeah, I would be super excited too. I don't know if I'd be able to even sleep. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
I'll sleep just fine. But even if we don't win. At least the recognition for best is pretty substantial as well.
Absolutely. Just to be considered in that group is an honor in itself. It's like if you're up for an Academy Award, you've done something right. That's what I compare it to. When people say to me, what's a NXT award? I'll say it's like, it would be like getting an Oscar if you were in the movie business. You know,
it's kind of, it's mainly within the industry, right? Like the general public is not really aware of these, but the biggest natural products event in the world is Expo West, mm-hmm. followed by Expo East. And there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that attend this. And so it's within the industry, I would say it's the you know, there's a lot of awards, obviously, but this one in particular, there's a lot of competition. It's fierce competition. And it's a good feather in the cap for us.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Well, you know, you guys have other supplements. It's not just about the gut microbiome. You guys make bone marrow supplements and beef liver and organ complex. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is our continuation of the benefits of beef liver from about a month ago. I guess we discussed how beef liver is one of the most nutrient dense foods on the planet. But how much beef liver do we need to eat per week to be nutritionally beneficial?
Well, so that's a good question. I'll say that there's no one size fits all approach, right? Everybody's has individualized needs. That could be, range from, age to nutritional status in other areas, your general dietary habits. If you're under any particular stressors, immune challenges, things like that. So. But that being said, there's a good entry recommendation, and so that's typically the equivalent of around 3 ounces of fresh beef liver, fresh liver per day, mm-hmm. provides a very robust nutritional profile. So, mm-hmm. And in the context of a supplement, right, that'd be equivalent to about 3 grams of a freeze-dried type beef liver. So
yeah, well, it's a good thing that you have it in capsule form because these lips are never touching the liver.
You're not the only one. You know, I like to. You know, I'm big into the kind of ancestral health movement. You know, that's kind of that's my lifeblood, and I don't eat beef liver outside of supplements. So you're not alone there.
Well, and that's what Enviromedica, that's what you guys are all about. It's an ancestral approach to modern wellness. And we all need that. We do, because what we're doing is not working in mainstream. It's just not. We have to get back to our roots of what nutrition really should be for our bodies, right? We've changed so much since the ancestral times, but there's still a lot that remains the same, right?
It is. I mean, I think, if we think about, our biology, right, our perspective is that, modern life, modern society, this industrialized world that we live in is really a very, very tiny, tiny time segment on what is the evolutionary continuum, right? And mm-hmm. so, we, for millions of years, we existed outside of this state. And so our biology, our genes have adapted to respond to certain inputs and certain interactions with nature. And when you take those out, I think that you're left with a void. And so we're looking to reconnect people with that.
Oh, yeah. And, I was reading this crazy article. I don't know if you saw it. I'm not going to get into it. But when I read it, I was like, wow. You know, that it was an article about that cities have unique microbiomes, which could be key to keeping us healthy. I was like, what? How can our microbiomes be different based on what city we live in? But, there's so much science, like I said, out there that is yet to be discovered.
I've seen similar pieces. I don't know if we've seen the same one. Interestingly, I've seen kind of the contrary point to that, where they basically state that, urban environments, because of the lack of nature and greenery and things that exist in more rural environments, there's a lack of microbial diversity in, mm-hmm. in urban environments specifically. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, but I don't know of any piece that said that specifically urban environments contribute to a healthy microbiome.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to run counterintuitive, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, and I love that they're looking at it. You know, I love having this open discussion and open mind about science and considering everything. You know, looking at everything as a whole. But you know, to get back to beef liver, so how much beef liver is contained in each of your supplements, each of the capsules?
In our beef liver product, the recommended daily dose is 6 capsules per day, and each capsule is 500 milligrams for a total of 3 grams of freeze-dried beef liver.
Wow. Okay, so can we actually get more nutrients from a daily beef liver supplement than we could from eating, like real liver, right? Can we?
Well, it's the same, right? Like, there's no. When you ask the question, you know, my response would be that it's the same. It's food, right? You know, we are making the consumption of beef liver convenient, portable, palatable, and widely, it can be received by a lot of people, right? And mm-hmm. and again, I've eaten some very weird things in my life, right? And
like what, Jared?
Like what? You really want to get into that?
I do.
Well, for starters, my mother, dragged me through the, health stuff when I was younger, everything from macrobiotic diets to kimchi and fermented vegetables. And, I was the weird kid at school who had the lunch that nobody wanted to trade with. So we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
beef liver is a food, right? So whether it's fresh beef liver, consumed out of an animal that you picked up from the butcher, or it's desiccated and put in capsules, it still has the same or similar, very similar nutrient profile. Mm-hmm. And especially mm-hmm. when we're talking about freeze drying, I mean, I think that there are some question marks around other drying methods of beef liver, and that's why we utilize freeze-dried beef liver only. But that's a good question.
And grass-fed from New Zealand, I might add, where the animal welfare is at the highest level of consideration, and they take it very seriously over there. But let me ask you this. Can these supplements of liver, can they replace a daily multivitamin? Because if you remember when you were on the first time talking about this about a month ago, there was a huge amount of vitamins and minerals that naturally occur in beef liver.
There is, and I would say, Here's what I would say to that is it is the closest thing in nature that has the ability to be a multivitamin, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and the term multivitamin is a very ambiguous thing, right? Like, what is in a multivitamin? there's all different types of nutrients that exist in different multivitamin products out there. What I will say is that the forms in which they exist in beef liver are much more bioavailable to the human body than exist in many of the mainstream multivitamins that are out there, right? So, vitamin A being a good example, beef liver provides a very robust amount of that. You know, the vitamin A that is typically, 90% in multivitamin products that are out there, it's in there as beta carotene, right? As a provitamin A, and they call it vitamin A, but it's really, that's kind of a shell game, right? So, mm-hmm. I think really what we focus on is the nutrient availability, the bioavailability of these nutrients, and animal products, animal foods provide a very efficient way to get those into the body.
Well, yeah, and I was reading this article about why liver is a nutrient-dense superfood, and one of the things that it says, Jared, is that people often, this has astounded me, actually, that people often look to fruits and vegetables for vitamins and minerals, but liver far surpasses them in terms of nutrient content, and that a small amount of liver provides well over 100% of the RDI, which is the RDI is the recommended dietary intake for many essential nutrients, and I was like, wow, I had no idea that it was considered a superfood. To most people out there listening, they're thinking it's that icky stuff that their mother used to cook that made the kitchen smell terrible, right?
it is. My mother never cooked beef liver, although I actually wish she had, But, you know, my, so when you say, the word that you use there is very crucial, many, many nutrients, right?
Right.
And that's accurate, but it does not, I would not say that it provides every nutrient that the human body needs. I mean, that
right.
that would be a misrepresentation of the product, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, vitamin C being a good example, you know, mm-hmm. beef liver has a very, very insignificant amount of vitamin C. So to say that it provides every nutrient is not, it would be disingenuous. So, and there's a handful of other nutrients that are not represented at very significant values in there, mm-hmm. selenium being one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that, you know, back to kind of the core, you know, the core kind of philosophy here is that, you know, anything that humans do as a single note approach, right, and, mm-hmm. and do it in excess is not going to be not going to cover all your bases, right? So
yeah.
if you know eat beef every day for 365 days and you do nothing else, like yeah, you're going to probably have some deficiencies in certain nutrients that are not represented in beef liver.
Well,
that
yeah.
being said, they have many nutrients that are not represented very well in multivitamins and foods. In other foods outside of animal products, and they have it in very robust amounts, which is the critical point.
Right. And you shouldn't eat too much liver, right, because of the purines and uric acid connection?
So that's opening up a whole nother kind of box here, and I think that's more of a contentious topic. You know, there, you know, what I would say is that in and of itself, no, absolutely not, right?
Okay.
Could it potentially contribute to, you know, uric acid buildup, you know, if you have other underlying issues, potentially, right?
Right?
But that's
yeah.
not something that I would point at beef liver and say, hey, that's causing it. That's,
right.
that's not a thing. So
yeah. And I think it's great that we talked about it even briefly, because, you know, you're right. You have to look at the whole person and their whole diet and their exercise. And for example, if they're consuming too much alcohol, you know, that could be why they're purine or where they're getting too many purines. Right. And their uric acid level could be way too high. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a good point. You know, I would say, you know, kind of a counterpoint to that, you know, beef liver has a very robust choline content.
Mm-hmm,
Choline is a essential fatty acid, you know, and that actually can protect the liver from toxic insults and,
right.
and alcohol. You know, I know we all enjoy alcohol in some context, you know, every context here, but alcohol is it is toxic to the body. It's dose dependent, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But I love that we're talking about the whole body experience. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. More coming up with Jared Ramirez, everyone. He is the CEO of Enviromedica. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@onelifradio.com.
It's back to school time, and that means that you need to boost your immune defenses with Organifi. The Immune Support Bundle is a double pack of protection for your hardworking immune system. It's a holistic approach to wellness, combining daily support with extra defenses when you need them most. All organic vitamin C, zinc, and adaptogenic superfoods give your innate immunity a helping hand. For a limited time, your Immune Support Bundle will include an extra box of immunity, a $40 value, at no charge. That way, you and your family can feel safer. Get yours by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Jared Ramirez. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. You know why I was giggling, Jared and Junior? Because you remember the last time you were on, Jared, we were talking about the Rolling Stones, and you're like, you know, I really didn't care for the Rolling Stones.
You're gonna call me out on that one, huh?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I just think it's funny. And so Marie and I were talking this morning, and she said, I wonder what kind of music Jared likes. We should ask him. So I'm going to ask you, what are your favorite bands?
Oh, boy. So generationally, I was definitely not in the Rolling Stones segment there, but I would say, you know, I'm pretty diverse in my the music that I listen to, but one group that holds a special place with me from when I was younger is Rage Against the Machine. So,
oh, wow. Nice. Yes, nice. We'll try to play some. I love that. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, but kids will pick up, you know, music. Like my daughter, my oldest daughter is 24, but she loves the Rolling Stones more than me, if that's possible, you know. And I grew up because my older sister, you know, I have a sister that's over 10 years older than me, and she loved the Rolling Stones. So I, as a little girl, I listened to them. And so it's kind of funny.
Rolling Stones remind me again of the generation with that again, in terms of like when the fan base kind of fizzled out.
Well, like when it what fizzled out or started up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like
start
okay,
me up.
Fair point.
You get it?
Yeah.
No, I think it was in what junior in like the 60s. I'm guessing.
Yeah, they were 60s into the 70s. I mean, they're still going. You know,
yeah.
So it's hard to you know, but yeah, definitely. Their biggest popularity was probably 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think Mick Jagger had his own album. I can't think of the name of it right now, with some really great songs that he wrote about his relationship with the model. What is her name?
I don't know.
With the long blonde hair. Anyway, he wrote a song about her long blonde hair. It was a really very beautiful romantic song. But anyway, let's get back to Beef Lover.
UB42 is also another one.
Oh man!
Yes.
Oh, nice!
I'm a huge UB40 fan. So
okay. Well, the next time you're on, that's going to be the music we're going to play for you.
There you go.
Get you all fired up. Okay, so this thing about Beef Lover, and while we were on the break, I was looking at, you know, the three bottles that I have. So I have the Organ Complex, the Bone Marrow, and the Beef Lover. So what's the difference between the three?
So Beef Lover, I think, is a good entry point for most people into consuming organ meats, right? So I think I think liver has the most nutrient dense profile of any organ when we're talking about animal-based nutrition. Organ Complex has a wider variety of organs in there that many people enjoy adding to their routine.
Mm-hmm.
It also has other things in there like enzymes from whole freeze-dried pancreas, kidney, heart, spleen, which is very, very rich in heme iron. So that's the Organ Complex. And then bone marrow, the bone marrow is actually a whole bone complex. It's primarily marrow, but it also has grass-fed cartilage, collagen in there, as well as bone matrix. So it's really for immune support, tissue support, and bone support.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, and when I asked the question, I'm so glad I asked the question, and you were naming off like the tongue, the heart, you know, the brain, all these things, even the testicles, I guess they ate back in the ancestral days. They didn't waste anything, right? But that's honorable. You know, that's honorable. If you're going to eat sacrifice an animal, eat an animal, then I think you should honor the animal and eat everything, right? Utilize all of it.
Correct, and that's really that's a kind of a wider philosophical pretext for what's termed as nose to tail animal based nutrition, right?
Right, right.
Where you know when you think about, I know some folks that eat beef, but they only eat filet mignon, right? Well,
mm-hmm.
You know that particular part of the cow is extremely small, and when you're talking about let's say a steakhouse, right? How many filet mignons they're serving any given night? Like, I don't think anybody realizes how many animals had to die to to produce those specific cuts of meat.
Right.
And so, you know, there's the kind of respect for life and the respect for that wider philosophical understanding of,
uh-huh.
Hey, okay, if we're going to eat animals, they should be raised right, treated right, and we shouldn't be wasteful in the process.
And
then there's the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just respect for the earth as well.
Correct. And then there's the other side of it, which is more the kind of the functional side, which is, you know, different organs and different parts of the animal contain different biological you know, inputs, nutrients, you know, collagen. I'll speak to collagen because that's a very hot item within the natural product space. And, you know, I don't know anybody that's not familiar with collagen and how it's been marketed. And so, you know, collagen is a good example of that, right? So the bulk of collagen within the industry comes from bovine sources. It's the skin, right? And so, and the same with marine-based sources. They come from fish scales, right? So, and that basically ties into what I'm basically saying is that, you know, different components of the animal provide different nutritional profiles. And in the case of, you know, in the case of collagen, you know, you have a kind of this like supports like phenomenon happening where consuming, you know, the collagen-rich tissues of animals supports the collagen-rich tissues of your body when you consume them.
Yeah. You know, about once a week, Jared, I get a chicken for my dogs. I have 10 dogs, and it's always like their favorite day, and I take it all apart, and I don't waste not a morsel of it. The only thing that ends up in the garbage are the bones because they're cooked, and so I don't want, you know, my dogs to choke. But as I'm, you know, dissecting or tearing the meat off the bones and stuff, I always say a little special prayer. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, and that's okay. Maybe I am. But I say a special prayer, and I thank the chicken for feeding my dogs, you know, and as unfortunate as it is, you know, for the chicken, it's part of the circle of life. I believe that even though I don't participate in it myself, you know, and haven't for many years, I still eat a little bit of butter and occasionally a pasture-raised egg. And but that's one of the things I like about these capsules is because if I chose to you know, use this type of nutrient, it's a happier way for me to do it, you know. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, look, you know, there's a multitude of arguments right now against meat, and this is happening at a global level, right?
It is.
And it's actually very disturbing, the arguments that are being made, because there is no food system that can exist without animal food consumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will obliterate ecosystems. It will create, I mean, there's so much of the planet is not farmable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having, you know, grazing herds on these are really the only utility for these lands. And so, you know, there's multiple arguments, and there's a lot against the ethical aspects, right? But the ethics of it in my, you know, my purview are really tied to animal husbandry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I encourage people to vote with their dollars. That's how you see change within an industry. And when you stop providing, you know, monetary resources for less ethical operations, you know, like concentrated animal feeding operations, that's no way for an animal to live
before it becomes
nutrition for others. It's
right.
It's abhorrent, and we should be moving away from that as a you know, as consumers. So
as a society, I couldn't agree more. And I'm glad that we talked about it. And I didn't get to the questions that I want. I've got a couple more here real quick because we have to go to break. But, you know, I know your bovine or beef products are freeze dried, but I've also seen desiccated liver supplements. What's the difference between the two? And is one better than the other?
Yeah. So real quick. So there are, you know, you should verify that they're freeze dried. Freeze drying preserves the biological activity and the nutrient profile of whatever it is that's being freeze dried. The term desiccated just means dried, but there are there are other drying methods that are very harsh. There's spray drying, which heats it up to hundreds of degrees. There's infrared. There's all different types of drying methods, but those freeze drying is really the optimal way. It is industry-wide, and this is known to preserve the biological activity of the material or the substance that you're freeze drying.
Wow, I'm glad I asked. But you know, it's always great having you on the show, and I'm gonna be praying tonight, wishing you luck. I swear, crossing all my pinkies and my fingers that you win that award. That's amazing. The next award, you can put that on your in your trophy case there at Envirometica. Oh my gosh!
Working on it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Good to talk with you, and we'll talk to you later, alligator.
Thank you, Bernadette. You have
All
a good
right.
one.
You too. Jared Ramirez, everyone, I encourage you. Terraflora, Deep Immune is what I take every day. And your gut microbiome is something that you most definitely need to protect and nourish. We'll be right back. Monica Berg coming up. We're going to be talking about deconstructing anger. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@onelifradio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert and his team at Enviromedica, took home the 2021 Nexti Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexti Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Monica Berg with us today. I love this woman. She is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. She is the Chief Communications Officer at the Kabbalah Center International, a nonprofit organization located in Los Angeles, California, that provides courses on the Zohar and Kabbalistic teachings online as well as through regional and city-based centers and study groups worldwide. Monica is a self-professed change junkie, sharing wisdom and real-life awareness to help others adjust to their own lifestyle changes and to even get excited about them. Her website is simply rethinklife.today. That's rethinklife.today. Monica, how are you doing today?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing
good. Well. I'm good. I love talking about anger. I can't wait. I really can't. This is just, you know, I have this person in my life that is very angry and a lot, and I've been trying to figure it out for years. And so it's one of my favorite topics. And I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate. Anger seems to be prevalent in our society more so now than ever. And so, you know, last month we covered the five myths of anger, but today we're deconstructing anger. So I'll ask you, does everyone get angry?
Well, first, you got me really curious about who this angry person is in your life. But, I've never met anybody who doesn't get angry from time to time, right? It's one of our emotions. So, of course, we're going to experience it. We all have times when we have a perceived injustice. We feel that we were wronged, whether it's by another person, a situation, or even just the universe. And I think that a lot of us have felt that, especially this year, even the year before. But anger, I think, just looks different on people, right? Mm-hmm. Some people's anger is more external and it's more obvious. So there might be yelling and crying, physical violence even. And then other people's anger could be more internal or concealed, like judgmental or having resentment or bitterness or stubbornness. So mm-hmm. I think, yes, everybody does have it to different degrees and also different ways of expressing it.
Well, you know, it's one of the most interesting emotions, I think, because you know so many people say that it comes from fear or like you were, you know, I think you said from being wronged or, you know, offended by something or even maybe denied. But why is anger a secondary emotion?
Well, this is the thing. People have a lot of access that the first thing that they're feeling that's the strongest thing, right? Anger is the immediate reaction to things. It's the go-to emotion, but it's actually the secondary emotion because something triggered that, right? Mm-hmm. The primary emotion is what occurs when we feel being denied, offended, or wronged, as you said. And it kind of just sneaks up on us very rapidly, and then we don't notice it. It's unspoken, right? Like, oh, that person said this, and that bothered me. We just feel the anger, right? So anger tends to emerge when we experience intense frustration, fear, or hurt. Mm-hmm. And I often tell people, you know, instead of focusing on are you an angry person or not, why don't we just rewind a little bit? Right before you got angry or you were able to feel that emotion, what happened, right? Mm-hmm. Did somebody say something to you, or did somebody look at you in a shameful way or a dismissive way, or what triggered that? And then once you are able to access that emotion, then you can unpack it, and then you can actually do the work of saying, okay, well, I don't want to be the person that really cares what this person thinks, or, you know, then you can really kind of grow and change into the person you want to. Because again, anger is just simply the reaction.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever good to get angry? And if so, can you give us an example?
Well, it is. I mean, listen, these emotions that we have, even the negative ones, are there for a reason. And they also can help us propel to change, not just ourselves, but the world. So for example, MAD, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, that was created by Candace Right. Leitner, after her 13-year-old daughter, Kari, was killed by a drunk driver, right? So she used all that anger and sadness and pain and really used it for something much greater than herself. In my own life, you know, I'm an advocate for my second son, Josh, who has Down syndrome. And often, you know, I think that he's being treated unfairly, although he doesn't really notice it for the most part. He's very happy. But I use my anger in that instance to really fight the injustices that he faces.
Yeah, no, I love that. This is kind of funny. So someone said, I didn't take it very serious, but I thought, I'll show you, you know, kind of that attitude. A lot of times when somebody will say something like, somebody said to me, oh, good luck with that, when I was trying to learn Canva, which I've almost mastered already, I'm proud to say. but part of my fire under my rear end was that person saying to me, good luck with that, insinuating that I would find it difficult or maybe I wouldn't be able to do it. And, you know, and so I don't think I really got angry, but I wouldn't call it angry because I love the person very much. But it did put a little fire under my rear end. But that's good sometimes, right? A little bit of fire.
Totally. I have this sweatshirt that I wear proudly. It says, go ahead and underestimate me. That will be fun. It's that same thing of like, you know, yeah, because you do. I mean, we are going to have reactions to things. And then this is the key part. It's our choice what we want to do with it, right?
Yeah.
So again,
no, absolutely.
Focus on like, I want to remove this negative feeling, even sadness, like all of the negative emotions as we see them do have a healthy space in our lives.
Right. Well, and healthy is a key word here because, you know, a lot of times people get, you know, really angry over what most of us would consider small things. So what does it mean if we continuously get angry over what we consider to be small things?
Well, I think there's actually two possibilities. The first is small things are a symptom. There's a root cause that you're missing, right? Like, as we just shared earlier. Sometimes it's easier to get angry about small things than to face the big thing, right? So sometimes the big thing is real, and also sometimes it's a creation of our own mind. It just feels really real. It could be a limited belief system. But we, again, need to focus. You know, we go to these small things. If we're busy all day with small things and being said about it, you actually never really have to focus on the more important, necessary thing, right? So, for example, if someone is constantly getting angry at their partner for, you know, forgetting things from the grocery list when they go to the store,
yeah,
or not picking up the toilet paper or the milk, right, for the morning on the way home from work. So you might get angry over these small things over and over again. But this could be a symptom of a true frustration, which is maybe you feel like your partner never listens to you, or that you feel all alone in the relationship and you don't feel like it's equal, right?
Yeah.
So you'll focus on the small things. Oh, he forgets this and the toilet seat's up and da-da. But what does it all really add up to? It's that you don't feel heard or seen. So that's one possibility.
Yeah.
The other is there may be an element of downplaying what's really going on, right? And that could be connected to your self-worth. So, again, if somebody gets upset over small things all the time, in reality, they just feel like they're being overlooked. So, for instance, if someone has low standards and they believe they deserve this kind of thing in a relationship, when their partner may yell at them or call them names, which I hope that doesn't happen, and the response would be to be angry or sad, but you kind of put this away and just say, oh, you know, nothing's really a big deal and I'm not really worthwhile. That's not an accurate reaction either, right?
Right, right. Well, it's funny that when you first started speaking to the question about, you know, being the root cause and small things, I was thinking about that in a relationship. It's very common that when someone's upset about a big thing, they'll pick on you for little things rather than really face the big elephant in the room, right?
Yeah, because it's harder. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to confront, right? And they think that.
Yeah.
Every conversation needs to be a confrontation. It doesn't. I think things are
right.
necessary to talk about, because if not, it builds up and it doesn't feel good inside your own body. I mean, really the person that suffers is you.
Well, and I think, and I'm looking at the break. You know what? We'll go for a quick break. I've got some great questions. We're going to continue. Everyone, stay tuned with Monica Berg, Deconstructing Anger. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Hey, everyone. I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.com. That's CastorPollux.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Monica Berg. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Monica Berg is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. She is a self-professed change junkie sharing wisdom and real-life awareness to help others adjust to their own lifestyle changes and to even get excited about them. Her website is rethinklife.today. That's rethinklife.today. We're talking about deconstructing anger. Okay, so Monica, what is the difference between anger and resentment? You said resentment earlier. What's the difference?
I love this question. Anger is defined as the emotion related to having been offended, wronged, or denied. It's our response to a perceived injustice. Resentment is defined as a feeling of indignant displeasure or persistent ill. Well, as somebody regarding to a wrong, insult, or injury. The key word here with resentment is persistent, because resentment builds over time. It's every repressed emotion, every time you wanted to speak up and you didn't, essentially every time you felt your feelings were not valid or allowed. Mm-hmm. And there's an easy way to catch yourself when you're going down that road, and that's to look at your judgment. So anger is typically short-lived, while resentment takes time to fully form.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a chief characteristic of resentment is feeling of powerlessness, mm-hmm. either to a person or a situation, and it always ends up taking more mental energy than you'd like to give it. Mm-hmm. Of course, when a person feels powerless, they tend to blame, they think they're innocent victims, everybody else the perpetrator, and of course there's going to be fault both ways, but this really doesn't serve anyone. Mm-hmm. And that's why it builds over time and you get stuck in this emotion for very long periods, right? Anger comes and goes. You feel angry, then you got over it, you get past it. But resentment kind of just sticks around mm-hmm. for the long haul. And they do go hand in hand, the two. When we allow ourselves to get angry over the same thing without addressing it, right? Like some of the examples we discussed earlier, mm-hmm. when you don't look at the root cause or take responsibility, then resentment is often the result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and resentment is very damaging. Oh, my gosh. And sometimes not real, right? Like you said, a lot of times the resentment comes...
It's perceived.
It's mm-hmm. perceived that you're offended or wronged or denied. Does entitlement or gratitude have anything to do with the complexity of anger?
I think it does. I think that if you are holding a space of appreciation or gratitude, you can't really stay in that emotion very long, because then you're able to have perspective. Like, okay, yeah. you know, it's on all the other, you won't go to that victim place. You won't go to that blame place. You'd be like, wow, all these other things are so beautiful in my life. And this one thing is making me so angry. What can I do about it? You'll tend to see things as the grass is greener, right? So you're going to mm-hmm. look for solutions versus somebody who's kind of always, you know, when you feel negative feelings and you see negativity, pretty much before you know it, that becomes more your nature, and yeah. then it just becomes the norm for you, right?
Right, right. And I think it's about forgiving, you know, forgiving other people. We're all human. Something as simple as, you know, like you're in traffic, okay, and somebody cuts you off. You know, I remember my dad doing this. You know, my dad would say, oh, maybe, you know, they got a baby sick at home, or he would always find an excuse, you know, or not even I say an excuse, but a deeper level of understanding of why maybe that person is acting in such a way, you know?
Yeah, you actually just touched upon something. It's called benefit of the doubt. I mean, whenever you find yourself judging somebody, you have to stop and say, okay, what could be another scenario here that I just don't have access to, you know? Mm-hmm, we, mm-hmm. If we walked around the world and we looked at people and we thought that we have more in common, right? Everybody's doing their best. Everybody has their own story. Everybody's in the middle of a process or their own movie. And you look at it that way, we'd have a lot of less negativity and negative interactions among each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love this topic. I really do. If you're just now joining us, we've got a couple more minutes with Monica Berg. We're talking about deconstructing anger. She's the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. Her website is rethinklife.today. Okay, so what does it mean when someone holds grudges, Monica? Is the person just holding on to anger? Because, that, you know, they've got nothing else to do? I mean, it's become such a habit for them.
Well, I think it's a key indication that they haven't forgiven for whatever that was, right? The feeling of being wrong, denied, hurt, frustrated, unheard, unappreciated, right? The list can be very long. So any of these primary feelings behind the secondary emotion of anger. Mm-hmm. There's this beautiful exchange in the film, The Light Between Oceans. I love this movie. And it illuminates forgiveness in this really powerful way. In the scene, a man... wife asks him how he finds it so easy to live a happy life when he's endured so much adversity and pain. And you see that at the beginning of the movie, like he had a really difficult life. And mm-hmm. she says to him, you've been through so much in your life, yet you're always happy. How did you do it? And he responded saying, to forgive, you only have to do it once. To resent, you have to do it all day, every day, all the time.
Yeah,
you have to keep remembering the bad things, and it's just too much work. And honestly, I just thought that was so well said and so accurate.
Wow.
It's just not worth it, right?
No, it's not. You know, with that old expression, you know, when you drink that, what is it about the poison and you're poisoning yourself, or when you continue to be angry, it's like...
Yeah, anger is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, and you waste your life being angry. And so ultimately, this is what, like, one of my, the most important questions, who is truly to blame for our anger?
Well, when it comes to anger, it's our choice what we do with it, right?
Right.
Because in full stop, we're the creators of our own reality. You can hold on to it or you can transform the anger. And again, you don't want to destroy it or eliminate it. Like, I think it's kind of funny when someone's really like, oh, I need to go to anger management classes and I need to learn how to manage it. And we talked about this with my book, Fear is Not an Option, to live with my fear, manage my fear. You know, you actually just want to transform your anger into something else. Because if you don't transform it into something positive, then at the end of the day, you're going to be the one to hold on to the anger and
right.
live with it, right? And that's just not a successful life, in my opinion. And it's not necessary to be stuck with that.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
I give this example because, you know, Kabbalists teach that anger can be transformed into passion and creativity. So imagine right now in your bank account, you have $604,800. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute.
Really, we got about 30 seconds. Oh, there's the music. Doggone it. Okay, you've got 15 seconds.
We need longer time together. Forget it. We'll get to it next time.
Are you sure? Okay, we'll get you back on as soon as possible. We will. And we'll save that thought. And we'll keep people hanging. They'll want to come back and listen, right?
There you go. It's always
oh my gosh.
Time flies with you.
I know. You too. Thank you so much, Monica Berg, everyone. I encourage you to go to rethinklife.today. That's her website, or her beautiful books, Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. I know I enjoyed doing it. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Transform it.